I want to thank you for listening to today's show on these most important topics. I'm going to have a follow-up with Trump on the Board of Peace, but I want to let you know about an appearance I'm making. And if you're in Maricopa County, Arizona, and you're coming to the Home and Landscape Show at State Farm Stadium, and it's absolutely a huge event, I'll be making an appearance at the Iron Hawk Financial booth from noon to three on March the 7th. And I'll be there to do a meet and greet with everybody that stops by. And you're saying, well, what's Iron Hawk Financial? Well, it's become one of our key sponsors here, and they're doing such a great job helping people with financial planning. And I got to tell you one thing that really separates them from everybody else. If you're looking to protect money, and you say, well, I've got as much gold as I need, okay, and I don't really trust the banks, that's good. Joe Lombardi's people at Iron Hawk Financial can absolutely set you up to where you're going to be recession-proof. You're almost tax-proof legally through IRS Code 7702, and you're going to make an income stream like you won't believe. And this used to be just the property of the rich and famous, but Joe Lombardi, being one of the top Wall Street brokers that he was, has learned the tactics. He's teaching it. And people are doing really, really well. And I would encourage you to be involved with them. And I'll be at that booth with the Iron Hawk Financial people, like I said, on March the 7th, noon to three, the Home and Landscape Show at State Farm Stadium. And I'm really looking forward to meeting you. I always love it when I'm at the airport or out in public and I run into somebody from the show because you get to see me, but I never get to see you guys. So please come on out and say hello. We'll have a great time. Again, that's March 7th, noon to 3, the Home and Landscape Show, the Iron Hawk Financial people at booth 1608. And by the way, if you want to know more about what I just said about asset protection and wealth growth, just go to dhhawk.com. dhhawk.com. We'll see you at the show. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And we are brought to you by Noble Gold. There is no better place to park your money than in gold. Oh, there's good places, trust me, very good places. There's investment opportunities and so forth, but wealth preservation. And you don't want to preserve everything you have. You need to do is some investing. But to preserve the bulk of your wealth, you know what? It's gold and silver. It's always been gold. Silver's played catch up. And right now, the rarity of silver is going to drive it to the roof. So let me ask you a question. Would you rather have your retirement, your 401ks, your IRAs, your savings account? Would you rather have that backed up with gold, an appreciating asset? Or with the failing dollar? That's an easy answer, right? That's why I've been with Noble Gold for almost 9 years. Now, the FTC wants me to say, and rightly so, that every investment carries an inherent risk. But gold is the most sound investment that's ever been. So I think you're on firm ground. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a 9-year veteran with Noble Gold. I've been advertising for 10. It's a fantastic opportunity right now they have available. And they will never pressure you. They don't have to. They got a client base longer than my arm. Call 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. This is a blockbuster report. And we're going to do a screen share for the people who are watching us, but we may actually end up playing this out on our radio network because this is such an important broadcast. I'm showing an image right now of something called the Board of Peace. And at the center of it is our president, Donald Trump. To his right is J.D. Vance. To his left is Marco Rubio. Then they have Jared Kushner. And I must say this honestly, there's not a bigger Zionist around than Jared Kushner, who's totally in favor of Gaza becoming this resort, 15-minute cities, and so forth. And if you think this is without concern, think again. Now, some people I talk to, behind the scenes, and some are very well connected, but they don't want to put their name on this criticism yet, lest they suffer financially. Read between my lines, people. It's why TPUSA people will talk to us privately, but very few of them, like Aubrey Leish, will come out and make a public display of what's actually going on at TPUSA. The same thing is true here, too, as well. We're not hearing Trump talk about a third term anymore because he doesn't have to. The Board of Peace might set him up as the king of the world. He's the chair, and you can't be replaced. You have to resign or die. The other members are in 3-year terms. And I'm going to walk through things with you here that are pretty darned amazing. Okay. The UN Security Council passed Resolution 2803 that welcomed US brokered 20-point framework to end the war in Gaza. Good thing. I want to see the killing stop. I wish the IDF was more conscientious about getting food and blankets and medical supplies to people like children who had nothing to do with this. And I'm still getting complaints that that's not happening. Okay, on January 22nd, President Trump signed the board's charter at the 57th World Economic Forum in Davos. That would be the World Economic Forum. That raises red flags for me right away, but I'm not going to judge. But I'm telling you, the World Economic Forum is not your friend. Remember, you're not going to eat meat. You're not going to drive your car. You're going to eat grasshoppers and you won't own anything, but you'll love it. Remember that? These are factual statements that have come out of that organization. Now, on February 19th, not quite a week ago, President Trump convened the first meeting of the new board in Washington, D.C., announcing billions in pledges from select member countries to rebuild Gaza. Mr. President, I would submit to you that we need to rebuild L.A., that we need to rebuild Lahaina, that we need to rebuild the terrible catastrophes in Detroit. We don't need to be investing in foreign countries. Humanitarian aid, I'm fine with that. But we're paying for the rebuild of Gaza at the benefit of Israel so they can occupy it. Okay, here's what they say as an excuse. We hope that this can serve as a model for other complex and difficult situations that they can be solved in the same way. Now, your tax money, other countries benefit. Okay, supporters describe this as a nimble alternative to collective action by the Security Council to facilitate reconstruction in Gaza. Skeptics, including those close U.S. allies such as France and the U.K., have raised concerns the initiative could sidestep the existing multilateral system used to channel funding away from broadly supported UN organizations. Now, here's where I've got to interject my inside sources. If I had just come out and said this without the supportive statement that was just made here, I've been told that the Board of Peace is going to basically rule by administrative default the United Nations. So when I said President Trump isn't worried anymore about a third term, since he had two unconsecutive terms or non-consecutive terms, can he run for a third term? And we had been debating this very early in his presidency. I don't think he could, but there were people out there, constitutional scholars, some disagreed with me on that. Well, he's not talking about that anymore. And I think we now know why. Okay, now what is the Board of Peace? Okay, and they're telling you right here in their own words who they are. Okay, they're a selective coalition of willing states organized outside the UN system, okay, endorsed by the UN Security Council. Whoa. Nothing gets done at the UN without the approval of the Security Council. Okay? Unlike the United Nations, it's not a universal body, nor does it rely on broad multilateral consensus to act. Okay, so it's a bunch of oligarchs. That's sorry, that's how I'm seeing it here. The board's governance is explicitly centralized dictatorship. Its charter established a chairman-centered structure. That's President Trump. He holds sweeping authority to invite or exclude members, break ties, approve or veto all board resolutions. Now, I might be okay with this to a point, and I say to a point. This to me sounds a lot like a treaty. Would you agree? Because there are other national interests involved besides the United States, and they're engaged in international projects, namely Gaza. Doesn't a treaty require two-thirds approval of the US Senate? Do you see my problem? Now, on the other side, I'm going to say this. Let's assume for a second that Trump is independent leader of the United States. It's America first. Okay. And he's not going to allow anything that'll affect Christians, like kicking Kerry off the Religious Liberty Commission for daring to say, I can respect Jewish people and support their rights without having to obey the nation of Israel. And you get kicked off the Religious Liberty Commission, Trump's commission. This establishes as a one-man dictatorship. And here's the problem I have with it. Does this supersede the Constitution of the United States? Well, the fact that they haven't entered this into a treaty agreement leads me to ask that question. Now, I will tell you this, I'm much more comfortable having Trump in this position than I would be Obama or Biden's handlers, because Biden didn't do anything in his time as president, the Otto Penn member. Okay. Do I feel more comfortable with Trump having this kind of power? Yes. Am I comfortable with it? No, no. Power corrupts. And as the saying goes, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I'm very, very, very concerned about this. They talk about you got to have $1 billion to get in. Okay. Now, they really walk a fine line here in answering this question. Is the Board of Peace replacing the UN or the Security Council? This is a key question, and they say it this way. It's still not answerable. In other words, they're seeking the power. There's conflicting signals sent from the administration. During the inaugural meeting of the board, President Trump suggested it may one day supersede the UN. I've already been told there's concerns it already has. The Board of Peace, according to Trump, is going to almost be looking over the United Nations, making sure it runs properly. Now, here's the deal. Let me play devil's advocate in something that may never occur. I'm just going to pose hypothetically the danger. If the United Nations were to declare they had absolute power over the United States and its citizens, we would rebel. I'm comfortable with that. You'd find a good number of the Democrats that would rebel. But what if it's President Trump, a man who's supposed to be MAGA? I think this lessens the resistance to global governance. This is hypothetical. But you can't say that I'm actually stepping out on a bare limb here with no support. The things that you've already heard should make you wonder the same thing. And then I'm really concerned because of all the Zionists. Susie Wiles is on this. Oh, one who helped run Netanyahu's re-election campaign. The one who says, America, it's your religious duty to follow us. Jared Kushner. Same mentality. He's on this board. Rubio, who I think has done a fine job as Secretary of State, but he is supported hugely by AIPAC. He was as a senator. I think he did a good job as a senator. I think he's done a good job as Secretary of State, but I am concerned that American interests are now going to be blunted by the Zionist interest on this board. That it looks like it could one day, if it can supersede the UN, why can't it supersede the Constitution, particularly when your president's involved? There's questions here. I'm not going to jump to the end game and say President Trump is going to be the dictator of the world and he's going to take away all your rights. Quite the contrary, I don't think he's interested in taking away our rights. I have never seen that behavior in him. But why would we allow a power base to develop where that could happen? President Trump is 79 going on 80. In 10 years, he won't likely be there. Who would take his place? Who would have that power over us? Now I'm building the case why I'm opposed to this, and the US government must refute every association with this organization that's claiming such broad power. But continuing, The takeaway, coordination versus authority. Here's a lot of their answers to my concerns. The Board of Peace is best understood as a coordination platform, a mechanism for like-minded states to act quickly around a specific political objective, initially Gaza. This is like a Marshall Plan of a minor nature. Remember the Marshall Plan to rebuild Europe? And there were contractors in America that made tons of money on this. I have no problem with that. We did Europe a favor. We didn't start your war, Europe. Okay, but we sure as hell helped repair it. And our corporations deserve to make money and be rewarded for it, and so did the American people. It's a different world right now. Gaza is not needed for a U.S. trading partner. Europe was. It was necessary for us to rebuild Europe. Does anybody argue that? I don't think so. So these aren't abstract distinctions. Continuing, bottom line. If the Board of Peace succeeds in its mission, it may ultimately complement multilateralism by functioning as a rapid response forum. In other words, maybe Russia runs their region of the world, China runs their region of the world, and we run ours. I've talked about this trilateral aspect of it. I just did another update on that. They could referee this whole thing, which basically gives them indirect dictatorial power. Okay, let's take a look at the membership. If I would have just come on here and said this to you, you'd have rejected it without this proof I'm putting before you. Okay, there are 60 invited seats that are represented by heads of state: Argentina, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Bulgaria, El Salvador, Hungary, Indonesia, Jordan, Kazakhstan, Kosovo, Mongolia, Morocco, Pakistan, Paraguay, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, United Arabs, United States. Where's Russia? Where's China? You got the top three powers in the world are United States, Russia, China. Where's Russia and China? Mexico is the biggest producer of silver in the world, which is a monumental crisis right now. Where are they at? I understand they're corrupt, but they need representation here. If you're going to have a high-tech society across the globe, you got to have Mexico. Okay? Now, let's look at some of the people who are involved, and I am really concerned with a couple of these. Marco Rubio, we'll see where this goes. I've always liked him. Witkoff, I'll suspend my judgment for now. Jared Kushner's already proven who he is. He's a globalist, he's a Zionist, he's not America first. Tony Blair, there's not a bigger socialist in the world. He wrecked the economy of the UK. He started the process where the UK lost their civil liberties that were fairly similar to the United States, and now they are gone. He led that fight. This is concerning because it could have a direct bearing on the maintenance of your civil liberties. Okay, now the National Committee for the Administration of Gaza, Jared Kushner, who else? Who, by the way, works with Soros on many things. Then we have a bunch of Muslim names here. Well, you would expect they'd be involved in their region. I don't have a problem with that. But the Kushner aspect of it, okay, and these are some of the supporting photos. This is the Board of Peace, ladies and gentlemen. It's fraught with danger because we don't know what the power limits are. I didn't see a definitive statement saying we will not seek to intervene over any nation's sovereignty. Obama and John Kerry entered into an illegal treaty that was never approved by the Senate in December of 2016. It was called the Kigali Principles. And if you followed me for any length of time, you've heard me talk about this. The Kigali Principles were based on the notion that of the 28 member nations, if one of them faced an internal revolution, social unrest they couldn't control, or invasion from foreign invaders, or mass terrorism they couldn't control, that the other 28, 27 nations would come in to their defense. We agreed to this. What was even more striking was at this time in 2016, and you can look this up, it's public record, Calexit was coming into full view. The notion that the State of California would leave the United States, secede, and become its own protected province of the United Nations. They called it a protectorate. They actually opened a makeshift embassy that I published the photos of on my website, thecommonsenseshow.com. I published those photos in this same time frame. There was a movement for them to leave. And by the way, Calexit, according to Paul Preston, who's doing the 51st state movement in California, and you have reason to know, he said, Calexit's made a comeback. I said, do you think they're going to try to leave? He goes, yes, I do. Will this bring in the United States or the United Nations Kigali principles with military forces to enforce this if they can claim that California is victimized? But it goes bigger than this. I believe the Kigali principles, if the Board of Peace is indeed over the UN, will assume that authority and they'll be able to make unilateral military decisions and they'll form and disband treaty alliances as it fits their purpose. And at the heart of what they're doing, and you can't do a rebuild of an area as big as Gaza, just like with the Marshall Plan. You had to have the participation of the biggest behemoth corporations on the planet. And you have to have investors. You have to have equity managers. BlackRock will be a huge player in this. Blackstone will be a huge player in this. So will BlackRock's partners, Vanguard and State Street. You say, well, Dave, that's a corporatocracy. It is. I don't have a problem with it if the funds were extracted equally from each of these participating nations. But I've been told that we probably stand right now is at least funding 95%, if not 100% of these efforts with our tax dollars, just like we gave Israel $4 billion to attack Gaza. One argues, well, they attacked Israel and we do have an agreement with them. Okay, I'll grant you that. But we don't have an agreement to do this. You should be concerned as an American that American interests are represented. Now, I'm told, Dave, your views are that of a dinosaur. There's no such thing as nationalism anymore. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're the only planet on, excuse me, the only country on the planet that has guaranteed civil liberties. We have what's called, okay, pull up your chair because you're going to get a government lesson that's not taught to you in school. We have constitutional law, which means there are some rights the government can't legally touch. Now, they violate our rights every day, but legally they can't touch them. Then there is communitarian law. And for a long time, the European nations pretended, well, we're just like the United States. Our people have freedom of speech. Our people can assemble and protest and da 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 da. But here's what they said. It has to be in the common or communitarian, or as I like to say, the communist interest. If this violates the interest of the people, i.e., the government rulers, then therefore you lose that right under communitarian law. Now, the European nations have a constitution, but they don't have guaranteed liberties. They have communitarian applications of this law. A lot of people don't know this. What I'm concerned about is we being the only ones that have guaranteed rights. See, I can sit here and I can sing Trump's praises, and there's a lot of praise to sing. I can sit here and say, I'm critical of Trump in these areas. Is my right as a US citizen trying to influence public opinion to influence President Trump? I have the right to do that. However, something like this takes over. And our rights now become secondary, and we fall into communitarian status. None of us are safe. And this is why you should be concerned. I reject the membership of this. I reject the power of this. I reject my tax money being used for this. I don't like the United Nations, but why are we creating a superior and duplicate entity? And I have only one thing I can come up with. We would reject UN takeover of our rights. I don't know that we will do that with this, the Board of Peace. Who can argue with peace? I've given you a lot to think about. Tell me what you think. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Check out our TV show at thecommonsenseshow.tv and our Hiding in Plain Sight series. People love it. We'll talk to you later.
My dad used to say, never argue politics or religion, you'll lose the battle.
every time. Both people, both sides will lose the battle. Well, we're going through that right now, no question. But I know what the covenant is with Christians. And if you're a Christian and you deny the covenant between you and the Lord Jesus Christ that came to die for your sins so you could have everlasting life, because the previous covenant did not do the job that was necessary. And yet the previous covenant is being used to overshadow the redemption of Jesus, in my humble opinion, but I don't think there's any question. The Christian religion is founded upon Jesus. That is the cornerstone. That is truly the only thing that matters. If you had to take everything away and leave one thing, this would be it. It wouldn't be Genesis 12:3. It would be the redemption of humanity. Now, was there a covenant between God and Abraham? Absolutely. But it was broken. And we're going to cover in the following segment exactly how that covenant got broken. And unfortunately, some of the same forces that led to the breaking of the covenant are present in modern day America. I had a really interesting discussion last night with Sarah Westall. Gave me a quick call and we kicked around some things that are going on. And I told her, man, I'll tell you, I'm taking some hits here because I'm not backing off of the most important thing in my religion is Jesus Christ. And I will not let that belief take a backseat to anybody else's imposition of what they think Christianity should be. Anything less than that, you're a false prophet. That's just exactly what the Bible says. And they said, many will come in my name. There'll be great deception in the end times. And I don't ever subscribe to the notion of we're in the end times, tribulation is here. But I do see how it's possible. And these are one of the occurrences that shows me that. Anyway, getting down to something I think is very, very important is I think well-meaning conservatives like Brandon Tatum have been deceived. And there's an all-out attack on Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. And I'm going to tell you, and just right up, say it right here, I'm not backing off of my criticisms of Erica Kirk. She's earned them. She's not protected by widowhood, as evidenced in the Bible, because she took herself out of that self-imposed time for mourning, grief, and rehab, and put herself right in the limelight herself, deliberately, and with egocentric, self-centered principles. Hey, notice me. Her Elvis clown suits, her constant reference to herself. She did this 2 days after Charlie died. 6 days after Charlie died, she holds Zoom meetings with some of her staff to brag about how much money they're making now. Does that sound like a grieving widow to you? I stood by her in the beginning. I told other people I think it's a bad look to go after her. But when I couldn't find real evidence of sincere grieving and not the constant dabbing of the corner of the eye with the emotion that didn't reflect that display, I could no longer perpetrate the lie. And I'm not backing off of that. She took Charlie's vision 180 degrees. If we're preserving Erica and Candace says, let me just back up here. Erica and Charlie are being linked in argument that they have the same legacy. Erica's preserving Charlie's legacy. No, she's perverting it. She's perverting it. And what do I mean by that? Well, when your institution is filled with corruption financially or extreme negligence, which I don't find believable, and Charlie had called for an audit. Oh, they want to call it an effort. It's the same damn thing. Stop playing games with words. And she cancels the audit. Is that preserving his legacy? when Charlie said, "I can't support Netanyahu," happened on October 7th, he slow walked the help. He also said he committed genocide in Gaza, said that on the PVD show. He turned down $150 million from Netanyahu. Erica's reversed all this, every bit of it. Tell me how that's preserving Charlie's legacy. It is not. It is not. And I don't wish for horrible things to happen to Erica, but I refuse to remain silent with someone who lies about her background, simultaneously and aggressively becomes the CEO of one of the most powerful organizations in the world. And she has character not worthy of it under the guise of being a Christian. She's lied about her past in multiple ways. It's been exposed. And it's funny, the critics of Candace and Tucker never talk about this. They never talk about her lies. They don't talk about her intelligence work when she did EMP presentations at Fort Huachuca. I ran the background through different AIs. They got the same answer every time. And she's this trad Christian wife. Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of contradictions coming out. But I'll say this too. There, by the grace of God, go I. All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us. And my hope is she prays for redemption, forgiveness, and then charts the right path. That's my hope for her. And I've been criticized for saying that because, Dave, she's despicable. You can't support her. No. I support her rehabilitation with the grace of Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness and repenting. And all of us need to repent. But her sins of omission and commission are a threat to this nation's liberties in ways I've already pointed out. I'm very concerned about the direction she can help shape with her organization now. And then I'm going to say this too. She's not worthy of being the CEO. And I'm talking from a resume standpoint of a 10-figure organization now moving into 11. She's not worthy. She doesn't have the experience. And she shows it. Her judgment is consistently bad. And I'll go to the most cringeworthy thing there is. As CEO, who in the hell would ever approve a display at AmFest for a widow's slain husband in which people enter a mock-up tent that Charlie was killed in and they charge people for being there? They allow selfies and sell merchandise. In no world can anyone justify that and say that's normal widow behavior. It is not. And so you people who promote her as a holier than thou, and you attack Candace and Tucker for pointing out problems. And I'm going to shift gears for a second here too. Tucker Carlson. Brandon Tatum takes him to the woodshed here, and I've always liked Brandon Tatum. I think he's a good man. He served his community by risking his life being a police officer. And certainly we undervalue that in our society. But then he accuses Tucker of not being a Christian. I had a big problem with his assertion. I have heard Tucker make assertions about the Bible, the application of scripture. I've heard it. I've heard him talk about the application of his faith to current events many times. And yet, Brandon is either uninformed or he's lying. Now, before we go to the clip I'm going to play for you with that, I just want to let you know we are brought to you by products that can change your life. And I'm just going to talk about one, the NanoSoma liquid spray. And I've displayed it thousands of times in the 2 years I've been associated with the company, because it was 2 years ago I was in deep, deep trouble with a bad prognosis. All the medicines expired, still was in trouble. And then Scotty Sachs introduced me to this product. And lo and behold, Here I am, miracle recovery, better than I'd been in years, and defied the prognosis. You can have that too. Boost your immune system. The NanoSoma liquid spray. I can't recommend it more strongly. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com slash Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Let me see if I can find Brandon again here. This is so disturbing. Okay, just let it play here from the beginning, and I'll interrupt at key points.
Stupidest person in the world to think that.
Let me make sure that we have correct sound input here, because we did not. I could pick up on that right away. So I think that at the end of the day, I think you're all going to agree here that I'm correct on this. Okay, here's Brandon Tatum.
The Jewish people who were on the land that got dispersed and came back to the land somehow just lost their DNA. What the are you talking about, fool?
Abram's descendants are the ones who have the right to have this land, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we do genetic testing on everybody in the land and find out who Abram's descendants are? It's really simple. We've cracked the human genome. We can do that. Why don't we do that? Would you be against doing that?
I have no idea what that would prove. I mean,
Really?
maybe it would be.
What do you mean? What it would prove who Abram's descendants are?
Every time these fake Christians and these Jew-hating nut jobs go to try to challenge the birthright and the promises that God made, they never use biblical scripture. Never. Have you ever seen Tucker use a scripture to validate anything he's saying?
Yes, I have.
Never.
I
And these
have.
other people, they go, I feel like it shouldn't be. God didn't do that. What?
I'm witnessing the fact that he has, and so has millions of people. Brandon, you're right. Look, I don't think Tucker's assertion is practical. I don't think it's necessary. The Bible does say Jews will be scattered from Israel, broken covenant consequence, and they'll be brought back together, fulfillment of prophecy. But what land are we talking about? Are we talking about the confines of Israel today? Or are we talking about the entire Middle East? That to me is a point in dispute. And it's one, no matter what, how I look at it, I get confused because I'm not sure. And for Tatum to sit here and says, well, I have all the answers and it's all the Middle East, and Mike Huckabee says the same thing, I'm not sure that that's supported. And I don't know that this is the hill to die on. There's no question Israel deserves to exist. Israel deserves to be safe. The people have a right to practice their Jewish faith, not my faith, but they have the right to practice it without interference. I totally agree with those principles, but he talks about here making conclusions with facts, not in evidence. This is what he's doing.
Where's your biblical scripture? I'm gonna go right here in the Bible. Okay, we'll start with Genesis. I'm gonna read this right from Genesis. It says Genesis 17, 7 through 8. God made an everlasting promise. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout your generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And I will, not just I'm going to be God to you and your descendants, and I will give you and to your descendants after you the land. It was prophesied to be that way. Isaiah 11 and 12. It adds to this. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exile of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judea from the four corners of the earth. Prophesied. Then we can go over here and I continue to write in. It says, peer-reviewed genetic studies show that Jews from around the world, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, and also Mizrahi, I think I'm be saying that wrong, share a common Middle Eastern ancestry. Research published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
I'm going to say something here too. When you quote research, it's appropriate to say in this instance, and I know because I've taught and developed research courses, Research tends to indicate, unless you have research done over and over and over that gets the same result, and your level of significance, that little symbol says P equals less than sign 0.05, means that your results are could not be due to chance more than 5% of the time. And that it indicates a good consistent study across all study lines. He doesn't quote that. He quotes a study. A study by itself indicates maybe the need for more studies, but it does not indicate the final conclusion. And the way he reads this, he's looking at a puzzle and he has one piece of it and he thinks he can solve the whole puzzle. It's an incorrect application of research. He doesn't express it properly. And if he were taking my midterm exam and came up with this answer, he would fail.
Think that the Jewish people who were on the land that got dispersed and came back to the land somehow just lost their DNA. What the f are you talking about, fool?
Abram's descendants are the ones who have the right to have this land, correct?
Yes.
Can we go forward?
Descendants after you throughout your generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And I will. Not just I'm going to be God to you and your descendants. And I will give you and to your descendants after you the land. It was prophesied to be that way. Isaiah 11 and 12. It adds to this. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exile of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judea from the four corners of the earth. Prophet.
Okay, now, here's what he doesn't take into account, and I don't know that any of us can. When the Jewish people were dispersed through the world, do you not think there was intermarriage between Gentile and Jew, between any race and Jew? So I don't know where a genetic study would prove anything. And on that point, I don't agree with Tucker's assertion. I think what he's saying is your claim is too broad, and he was making a euphemism. That's what I think he was doing. But right here, you don't have pure genetic bloodlines. Do your own DNA sometime. I've known people that have done it, and I think it's a mistake because you don't want to put your DNA on file. Okay, trust me. You do not want to do that for various reasons. But I know people that have done it, and they have found out, oh my gosh, I have black people from Africa in my DNA. Or I have Spain and Spanish in my DNA. People are shocked at what they find. And sometimes it's a very low percentage. So these arguments are superfluous. They don't mean anything. Absolutely do not mean anything at all. I don't think the DNA testing ever would matter.
Prophesied. Then we can go over here and I continue to write, and it says peer-reviewed genetic studies show that Jews from around the world, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, and also Mizrahi, I think I'm be saying that wrong, share a common Middle Eastern ancestry. Research published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and also.
Sorry, Brandon, but there are people that living in America who are Jewish that share a common ancestry too, but to varying percentages. That's my point. And he's making an absolutist conclusion when it's inaccurate to do so.
American Journal of Human Genetics, both peer-reviewed journals confirm that Jewish populations cluster genetically closer to the modern-day Middle Eastern group, such as the Palestinians, the Druze, and the Bedouins.
The Palestinians? Really? But we have shown you that Israel intends to deport all these people to Somaliland. We've done a couple of shows on this, and it's not a show done in isolation. There's many that know this now. He's defeating his own argument here. So is he saying Palestinians, there's your part of your common ancestry? Is he saying Palestinians have a right to land there? I don't know that that's true, but he's defeating his own argument.
Than their non-Jewish European neighbors. You can go and say the genetic signature supports the idea that Jews today do indeed descend from common ancestry population from the Levant. the very region the Bible describes as the homeland of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Peer-reviewed research have already been done, genetically proven, that you could look at the Jewish people in the land today, even those who are Ashkenazi Jews, genetically going.
I got to tell you, there's not anyone who can hold their water with research principles that would agree with this final conclusion. There's a question mark that goes over it. Now, am I going to sit here and say this man can't be a Christian? He's an error about the Bible. He's making overgeneralizations. No, this is his opinion. And I'm not calling for him to be deplatformed, but because he doesn't think that Tucker agrees with his interpretation, Tucker should be totally discredited, therefore, i.e., be deplatformed. This is wrong. And I would ask him, too, how far does this go, Brandon? Does Netanyahu have a right to influence the direction of American policy by buying it with campaign donations to over 90% of Congress? Does he? Because I'm not buying that. The nations are autonomous, and this is validated throughout the Bible. Multiple passages: must be loyal to the nation you live in. Go to your leaders with grievances. The Bible is filled with directions like this. Deuteronomy is a textbook on this. His argument is self-defeating. The bottom line is this, is that Israel is Israel and has a right to exist. The United States is the United States. The Jewish religion is what it is. The Christian religion is what it is. But I'm being told, if I say the covenant I hold to be most dear is my relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm anti-Semitic. That's what Kerry Bowler's been told. This is what I'm being told, and I reject it. But you don't hear me calling for the deplatforming of these people, do you? Let me ask you this, supporters of Erica Kirk. Would Charlie be calling for the deplatforming of Tucker? No, he allowed all viewpoints.
Back to bloodline of Abraham.
Okay.
You gotta be the stupidest person in the world to think.
Listen, he's done some good work. I just happen to disagree with him on this point, but it's a major point. And Brandon has professed to be a Christian, and I'm happy to call him my Christian brother. But I think unintentionally, he's de-emphasizing the importance of the resurrection. That is the sine qua non for Christians. It's not what comes before it. And I'm not saying that Genesis gets turned on its ear. It does not. But I'll say this very clearly. It's Jesus or it's nothing. If you call yourself a Christian and you don't say that ultimately Jesus is the force, then you are not a Christian. You are a Jew. I want to show you one more thing here, too. I am officially calling for a national boycott of any conservative commentator that does not condemn the evil, demonic Candace Owens. If they are too cowardly to stand up for the Erica Kirk and Charlie Kirk. Oh, Erica Kirk and Charlie Kirk were not on the same page at the end of Charlie's life. And if you want to live in that fiction and not realize that what the insiders are telling you and what they observed isn't true, well, then you can believe a lie if you want. He goes on to say, they are not worth our time. We have been asking for months for people. Okay, and it says, I stand with Erica Kirk. I do too. I hope that she does what I have to do frequently. Course correct and repent. And I don't see any evidence of repentance. What I see is an habitual liar who's perverted the purpose of TPUSA away from what Charlie wanted. That's a fact. And I don't apologize for that conclusion. You know, I've watched many people in grief. And I can't tell you the number of women who have told me when I lost my husband or when my mom lost my dad. And then they go on and they contrast it with what they see with Erica Kirk's behavior. And then the people from TPUSA that said, Charlie stood for this, but this is what they are now. I'm tired of it. Make your argument, but you do not have the right to deplatform someone. This post right here from Jay de-emphasize, well, maybe they're coming to get me, if you heard that in the background. This de-emphasizes the First Amendment to the Constitution. And there are attempts right now to do that. Let me give you a couple of examples. A couple of things I have mentioned before, a couple I have not. In Arizona, okay, my representative is sponsoring a bill to rename Highway 202. Well, there's quite a little fuss going on out there. Maybe they're surrounding my building. Anyway, Highway 202 is going to be renamed Charlie Kirk Highway. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that at all. I think it's a great honor. People say, well, it'll cost money. And Charlie helped save a nation by getting the Democrats out of power. Okay. So I think it's worth the expense. Then this same representative goes on and sponsors a bill that says no longer in our communications can we use the word West Bank. It must be Samaria or Judea. Do you understand what this is, folks? This is Zionism. And why is a state official taking this stance? Well, I can tell you, it's the Israeli lobby. It's a fact. And this is what I reject as their interference into our politics and to my religion. And then there's a bill in Congress. And Sarah and I talked about this at some length last night, and she was as abhorred by it as I am. I think it's H.R. 6148. You can look that up, quote me on that. If I'm wrong, I'll correct me on the number, but I'm pretty sure that's right. And what it says is if I want to be a federal contractor and do business with the federal government, I cannot have ever engaged in a boycott of any product out of Israel. What? Isn't that my right? Right? And when does I don't want to purchase this, and my friends feel the same way? When does that become an opinion and turns into an official boycott? Give me a break. And then you also too cannot be saying demeaning things about Israel. Okay, well, America had the Trail of Tears, horrible injustice done to Native American tribes that were marched to Oklahoma in the favor of having more valuable land at the time. Okay, I just said something demeaning about my own government. Horrible taking people who were American citizens and their sin was being of Japanese descent and putting them in detention facilities in the beginning of World War II. Didn't do it to Germans, only did it to the Japanese Americans. Didn't I just criticize my government? Okay, see, I can do that and still be a federal contractor. But in this situation, if I say 20,000 children died and many of them didn't have to die, there wasn't care exercised to protect the children in the 12-day war. I just criticize the actions of the Israeli government and military. If this bill passes, it enables me to not do business with the federal government. Do you see the inconsistency there? This is what we mean by Zionism. It's rules for thee, but not for me. You must respect my religion. And if our religions contradict, you shut the hell up and I'll kick you off the Religious Liberty Commission, Kerry Bowler. I'm telling you right now, folks, you Christians better stand up and you better demand that your religion be respected with the same vigor that we're seeing from the Zionists for their religion, or you're going to lose your religion. Your First Amendment is under attack. And this isn't about Jews versus Christians. This is about selfish people wanting their way and using a banner of religion to justify it. Jews and Christians have lived in harmony in many places in the world for centuries. But these people want power and control, and they're using Zionist principles applied to religion to circumvent and overcome anything that they perceive as an opposition. And if you disagree, you need to be deplatformed. You can't do business. This is right along the lines of you shall not buy or sell in the final days. And this bill in Congress should be renamed H.R. 666. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.